Welcome to Time Out for Anesthesia. In these episodes, you'll hear a variety of experts discuss data, analytics, and strategies that can help you modernize and empower your anesthesia practice. We want this podcast to really benefit you, so if you have any questions or a specific topic you'd like Time Out to discuss, you can email us at timeout@graphiumhealth.com. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining us again. This is another episode of Time Out for Anesthesia. I am quickly becoming your host, David Henderson. That wasn't the original plan, but I've kind of evolved into it. And my co-host, John Lutz. How are you doing today, John?
Hello. I also wasn't planning on being a host, but hey, what the heck? Especially for onboarding, I'm happy to do so.
Good. And that is what we're talking about. We are continuing our series on onboarding that John capped off for us. And this is our third, I think, installation of this series.
Third or fourth.
Yeah. And today we're going to invite back a special guest that we had on previously, Matthew Oldham. He is our VP of engineering. And again, so excited to have Matt on board. And today, John, what are we talking about? Integrations?
Integration. So this will be a continuation of the initial kind of overview video. We're kind of diving deep into all the sections of the onboarding that we go through, really kind of covering in a bunch of different podcasts, everything we go through on that initial kickoff call. So this section is where we're circling back to the integration conversation. And this is where we loop Matt back into the conversation in a big way. Matt is our VP of engineering, so he knows everything integration, right? This is one of the big beating hearts of our system and one of the wonderful things about our system and how we can really integrate with so many things and do so many amazing things. And Matt is, this is his brainchild, if you will. So he knows everything there is about this. So I'll bring up my screen and stop talking, hopefully sooner than later. So here we are. We're back to our sheet here that may be familiar to you now. Obviously, we've done all of our things. We've talked about your org, your naming conventions, what facilities will be onboarding, who your primary points of contact are, who we are, of course. And then this is where we're at. We're doing this kickoff call right here, right? So we've done the client info pack, wonderful conversation about the forms and how important that is. And now we're going back to integration. I think we always like to call, forms and integrations are kind of the two long poles in the tent, if you will, for onboardings, right? These two things are the only things that really kind of make things go long. There could be a forms committee that would take a while to go through a form to make sure that everything works okay for that workflow. In integration, it could be, great. Yeah, we can do this integration. We understand everything you need. We'll put that on the slate for next quarter. So that obviously will make an integration go long. I will tell you one thing that I'm always proud to say about our company. Onboardings go as fast as you want them to go. And we are never the one holding things up. And that's particularly true in integration, in no small part by the magic that Matt here does. So as promised, I'll stop talking here. And Matt, I'll hand it off to you. Again, we usually go through this kind of in the onboarding kickoff call. This will also sometimes split out to a separate meeting. So
Matt. Yeah. Thanks, John. Yeah. Thanks for having me back, guys. This is always fun to talk about. And as John said, it's a big part of every onboarding. I mean, obviously we need data from we as Graphium, the Graphium platform, your instance of Graphium needs data from the hospital. And then the hospital needs data back from, Graphium about your anesthesia cases. And so integration is obviously the key to making that happen. So that's a huge part of our platform. It's a really big part of our platform. It's hard to overstate, the part that integration plays. It's honestly where I spend most of my time because there's so much need for integration, just not just with the onboarding, but throughout the life cycle, throughout an implementation, throughout the course of anesthesia cases being captured, over the course of the year and all the activities that happen that are annual activities. And it's a long pole in the tent for onboarding a lot of times because there's a couple of hurdles we're always going to have to cross when onboarding a hospital facility. One is the need to establish secure connectivity with that facility. Between that facility's you know, data center or IT infrastructure and Graphium. And Graphium, we're a cloud platform. So that in and of itself is not the traditional, you know, context that hospitals, you know, have been used to working with. It's more and more common these days than it was when we started, but still not 100%, you know, the way things are. And so to establish secure connectivity, typically the traditional approach is you have a secure VPN tunnel. That's hard to manage. It requires more resources. It's more costly to set up. And ultimately, it's less secure than the option that we make available, which I'm thankful to say that we clear this one hurdle by making available this piece of software we call the Graphium Integration Client, or the GIC. You'll hear us refer to that a lot. You'll see it in the documentation for onboarding and the facility registry. So the GIC helps us, you know, kind of cross that VPN hurdle very quickly. The other thing the GIC does for us is it helps us kind of cross the network security hurdle. And I mentioned earlier that a VPN, a traditional VPN tunnel, is less secure. It's not that it's insecure. It's just that there are more secure ways of establishing connectivity. And the GIC lets us do more of a socket-to-socket type connection with the facility as opposed to a firewall-to-firewall connection. So not only do you not need all, you know, the IT resources that you need to set up that VPN tunnel and maintain it, we're going to get a secure, more secure solution in the end by using the GIC. And what the GIC is I think John even has our Graphium integration guide and on his screen. So this is what we send you as a customer, and this is what we provide your IT team and kind of what we walk through with them. And it's a really short guide, but it kind of highlights what is the GIC, where does it live in your IT landscape? What does it do? And really what it is it's just a small proxy client that is comprised of a set of Windows services that runs on some Windows machine behind your firewall. That's the good news, you know, part one is it runs behind your firewall. It doesn't need to be sitting outside the firewall. Number two is it's really small. That's the other piece of good news, right? Really small footprint, lightweight. It can exist it can be installed on an existing server. Or you can give it its own dedicated Windows host, whatever you want. It's low maintenance. You don't have to do anything with it once you install it. It's kind of self-updating, self-maintaining, and takes about a minute to install. So it's really, really nice in that regard.
I'm just scrolling around here on the GSC. This is obviously something that we'll send out ahead of time. Usually, actually, at the very beginning of the onboarding, you know, doing integration. It's one of those things that, like, give this to anybody who will read it, please. It will make everybody's lives easier. And then, you know, we'll go through it on the kickoff call and then in more in depth if we need to get to the specific stakeholders and stuff like that. But you didn't say the one thing that I always love to hear you say. You always call it a headless.
It is a headless application. John loves that.
I always have this vision of like Ichabod Crane running around with like an IT situation. So,
and all we mean by that is there's no UI that goes along with this piece of software. It's just you install it. We'll give you an activation code. You run the installer on the host that you want to install it on. And it installs itself and kind of goes away. And that's the last you see of it. It's a set of, I think, five Windows services that run and kind of do individual have individual functions. And those, I mean, for the IT audience and those who are in IT listening, or you may be, you know, dealing with this side of an anesthesia practice's interfaces, it's keeping itself updated with security updates. It's keeping itself healthy by downloading, you know, any software updates it needs to function correctly and communicate with our platform correctly. It's giving us health checks to say, hey, this, not only do I still have connectivity to the internet, I can talk to Graphium, but I can also talk to the host EHR that's sending me information, and I'm able to successfully send information back to the host EHR. So those health checks is another thing that it communicates with. And then it's exchanging the information, right? Sending us outbound ADT, sending back to the host EHR the anesthesia record information as necessary. So, yeah.
So Matt, for our anesthesia listeners who may not be as technical, this is different and a more updated way of handling an integration. Just what's a really dumbed down version for people like me who are less technical of what makes this better than, for instance, a VPN tunnel version of dealing with integrations that might have happened previously?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's really hard to talk about, and it's really hard to not describe it and answer your question in a technical way. But if you think about it from the perspective of the IT administrator who has to set up this interface or interface with a, it's really broader than that, interface with a new third-party vendor in the form of Graphian Health, right? So they may have the anesthesia practice there who is a contracted set of, provides contracted services at the facility. That contracted entity, which is the anesthesia practice, has another third-party vendor that they use called Graphian Health. And we have to integrate as the hospital with that facility or with that vendor, Graphian Health. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that securely? And how are we going to do that? How are we going to cross all the security hurdles we have to cross to make that happen? Right. Well, from their perspective, when we say, okay, this is the GIC, this is what it takes, and you don't need a VPN tunnel. So number one, that means you don't need to really involve your network security team if you have a big, large network security team. We're always happy to talk to those folks and answer their questions. This document, you know, we intentionally included a lot of information that was specific to that audience to say, okay, hey, if you have concerns about what's the encryption protocol? Well, it's TLS 1.2 or above. So we're already, you know, kind of giving them the key things they need to know to say, okay, this is a secure solution. It doesn't need to live outside the firewall. That means that, that's really good. That means we don't have to open any firewall ports that allow inbound traffic into our network. That's always a plus, right? And that makes the process much faster. And because it only, and I haven't gotten into this in this particular, you know, discussion, but the way that the GIC functions is that it only talks in an outbound fashion. So as I mentioned, the IT administrators don't have to open their firewall to allow inbound traffic from Graphium. The GIC takes care of all of that by only talking to Graphium in an outbound manner. And so that means that they don't necessarily have to update their firewall to whitelist any traffic going out, because it's all going out over the normal port of 443, which is how all kind of SSL traffic to any secure website already goes out of the data center or out of the facility already. Now, some facilities do, you know, require whitelisting, you know, that outbound traffic, but those are really easy changes to make. And again, it really lowers the barrier to entry to getting integrations up with Graphium. And again, the GIC makes all that possible.
Very, very much our secret weapon. Yeah. I love this thing. I love to hear how much people love it when we get it going. Yeah.
And I think the really cool thing and one of the biggest selling points too, and John, you've been on these calls. You've been on many of these calls. We have these all the time. Oh, yeah. And it's not uncommon for us to go from introducing ourselves to the IT administrators on an onboarding call or kickoff call for integrations to explaining the guide, having them download it and install it, and even set up the ADT interface all on the same call. We've had that happen within 30 minutes with not just small organizations. We're talking really big multi-facility hospital organizations. It's totally possible. And the GIC makes that possible. So
it's really cool. It is our little bit of incredible. Magic. Yeah. And it is great to watch people's reaction to it. So that's great. Wonderful. Did we also cover, so this is obviously the GIC. So going back to our list here, obviously that's the ADT. Did we talk about the ORU push back into systems?
Well, I mean, we really didn't even cover why do we need ADT, but I mean, happy to talk about both of those really quickly. ADT is probably the most important. It's really what we need to kind of, you know, make it possible for you to go live using Graphium at the point of care. And you know, as I mentioned earlier, we need data from the hospital EMR for Graphium, and then the hospital EMR needs data back from Graphium. Well, this is kind of part A of that equation, because we need to be able to pre-populate the patients that the anesthesia providers are going to see at the point of care. We need to pre-populate those in Graphium. That makes that data available so that when they have an anesthesia encounter, they don't have to wait for anything, right? They don't have to type in a patient's name or an encounter number or an MRN. They just scan a barcode. The patient already exists in Graphium by function of that ADT interface, and they're often charting on their case. That makes it really easy. But we also use that demographic information for sending downstream to billing, to the billing software, to the billing vendor, back to the practice so that they can generate claims. So all the insurance and guarantor and contact information for the patient comes across that ADT interface and then enables that downstream business workflow of claim generation. And then the third thing we need that for and we use that data for is for macro reporting at the end of the year. When we report data to the QCDR, there are certain demographic points or data points about a patient on a case that are required to report that case to the QCDR. So ADT is super important. And it's really the easiest to get off the ground because one, the hospital's got, they've got ADT interfaces already, right? Probably scores of them, you know, running between the registration system and all the various ancillary systems. And so we make it easy again by saying we don't need a custom ADT interface. We will take your standard vanilla ADT. You just point that interface to this GIC inside of your network and we'll take it from there. It's really, really quick and easy to set up. Again, sometimes even on the first kickoff call. And so that's the ADT. The ORU is really us or Graphium getting data back to the hospital EHR so that the anesthesia record can be posted to the patient's chart. So that helps the HIN medical records department. But it also can be used by the PACU staff. If you have maybe the facility has a PACU workflow where they're accessing the anesthesia record electronically, you know, for, you know, post-anesthesia care in the recovery room. Well, if we send that back, you know, in real time to the EHR or to their scanning and archiving module or their HIN system, their imaging system, the PACU nursing staff may be trained to look there and use that for recovery room care. So that's one way. And that's another audience, I guess, that it helps. Not all customers use this interface. Maybe they have a paper workflow, meaning they print their anesthesia record to the PACU printer for the recovery room nurses to use. And that's fine too. We have plenty of customers who do that.
Yeah, I like that. So, you know, there's obviously a way to go truly paperless if that's what you want. But, you know, we'll talk about that later on, I think probably with Frank about what, you know, I know we have a section down here that says printer, you know, and you're like, wait a second, why aren't we going digital? Well, yeah, sometimes people do want to print some things, right? And even if you're not printing in your workflow, it could be just something, you know, clever to have like, oh, wait, I want to print that real quick. And you can do that from your iPad, obviously. But yeah, if you want to go truly paperless, obviously these are all the mechanisms, right? So very cool. Billing integration. We do have another document on this. I can bring that over.
Yeah, billing is one of those workflows that is unique in the sense that it seems that every customer we encounter is using some unique billing workflow, and I think it speaks to the complexity of billing for anesthesia. I mean, from one perspective, you may hear somebody say it's really straightforward, but there are some really unique workflows in anesthesia when it comes to things like OB cases or labor to C-section conversions that make anesthesia billing really complicated. And so that coupled with the fact that an anesthesia practice usually has an internal billing team they're working with who's doing the coding. They have certified coders who are actually converting, you know, doing all the coding for a case so that they can create a claim in their software. And then you actually have the billing software vendor who, in many cases, is doing some of those services for the practice, or they're kind of behind the scenes supporting their software for the practice who's really doing all the work. But either way, there are so many billing vendors out there, so many different types of software and so many different workflows being used for anesthesia billing. We've encountered a lot of those, and we've built a lot of different unique, very custom interfaces for billing. And so what we try to do, we try to steer our customers to is this kind of what we call our standard billing interface or standard outbound billing interface. That's what this specification here is. And it's because there's so much data involved, we kind of carve it out into its own document for customers who need to implement this interface, which many and most do. But this is a really broad interface and that it really allows us to send you everything about an anesthesia case that you could possibly need for billing. And then along with the data we send you in this kind of discrete data interface, we accompany that nightly data with the PDFs of all of your anesthesia records. So it really gives the billing team everything they need to do claim generation. The goal of this is to make it to kind of automate claim generation. So if you're capturing all of the CPT codes for your diagnoses and procedures, and you know, your comorbidities, you're capturing all the codes, and you're making sure your forms are complete in Graphium. You're really giving the billing team everything they need. And if it's captured electronically in a discrete fashion, this interface will allow us to get it to the billing company. And hopefully with relatively, low effort, they can ingest that automatically into their billing software and generate claims, right? The goal is automatic claim generation. It's somewhat of a panacea, but we still strive for that as much as we can to make that workflow easy.
That's great. Well, I think that pretty much concludes this section. Obviously, you can see we go through obviously this quickly in the the kickoff call, but you can see obviously what it can break out into separate meetings, with a billing team or somebody else that wants to talk about this. But also, it's amazing what we can get done and how fast we can get it done. Can we talk about systems just real quick before we conclude? What are some systems that we've integrated with? Start rolling them off the top of your head.
Oh goodness. I think we'll start with the most common ones we see. We see Epic, we see Cerner, we see Meditech all the time. We see McKesson, we see Allscripts, we see you have all the kind of the surgery center specific ones, the HST pathways, the CompuLinks, the GMeds and the Provations, all the specialty type, practice, software that are used for those type of practices. We just, when you think you've seen them all, you we'll encounter a new one, but we've integrated with so many of them and thankfully we can, again, that's what one of the things that the GIC makes possible is that we build in support for all these, various vendor platforms. So that with one piece of software, we can say, okay, yeah, if you switch, if you're sending it to us from Allscripts or Paragon or, again, CorePoint or, specific integration servers that speak in a really unique way or handle things in a really unique way, and then you want us to send it back to OnBase or for medical records or some other unique system, the GIC knows how to talk to all of those systems. And so we build in support for all of these various products into that software. But yeah, there's a lot of them. I can't possibly remember them all.
We've truly never met a system that we couldn't integrate with is an accurate statement.
And John, I would some form or fashion, that's true.
I'd love to throw out there also that while we've integrated with we also have clients where we've not done an integration before because of some kind of barrier to entry, either the IT team can't handle it at the moment, or the cost from the host system. Our costs are relatively low, but sometimes the cost from the host system is just a huge barrier to entry, especially when we're talking about somebody in rural healthcare, or at smaller facilities with smaller caseloads or things like that. So I guess my question is this.
I know you're going with this.
If you don't do this up front, we can do this at any time. Is that?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, obviously we can do this at any time. And we've done that before. We've gotten people started up because I can't do this for another 3 months. But in the meantime, you can do it this way. You can add your own people to the system manually, obviously. And Matt, I guess there's another thing we didn't really talk here is that we do have another way of getting patients into the system, right? And you can probably explain this better than I am, where we can put a file into an SFTP and then the system can scoop that up and can populate your demographics that way. Not the easiest way, I suppose, because somebody is doing the manual data entry at some point, but it's definitely something we can do, obviously, right?
Yeah, for sure. And again, the GIC doesn't solve all of our problems. It's really intended for kind of that real-time data exchange with those mm-hmm. hospital systems and ancillary systems. But yeah, this... if you have software at your facility, a scheduling system that doesn't support integration, or it's implemented at a facility that won't allow you to integrate, but you can run a report and export all of tomorrow's patients and cases, that are on the schedule. If you can do that in a format that we support and drop it onto an FTP, we can use it and treat it just like an ADT feed. So we'll pick it up on a schedule and pre-create those encounters for you. And then it's from the provider's perspective, it's it's a real-time ADT feed. And if you have, if you're not a surgery center, maybe you're a hospital in that kind of setting and you have a bunch of add-on cases or you have changes to the schedule, you can create that report as many, as often as you want to, drop it on FEP and we'll pick it up and process it and, you know, create those encounters, add, you know, those add-on for those add-on cases. And again, from the provider's perspective, they don't know the difference, right? It looks like a real-time feed because the information they need is always there.
Yeah.
And Matt, that's one thing that I think that our engineering team should be the most proud, at least I'm the most proud of for our engineering team, is how they've created a platform that it doesn't really matter what kind of facility you are, where you're at, what size, anything, everyone can use our system with this same degree of success. And I just think that's huge. I think there's a lot of people in the healthcare space, especially in the rural healthcare space, who are often just overlooked and can't get some kind of software because it's not accessible for, you know, myriad reasons. And that I think that speaks a volume of great things about our engineering team and our product.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity just to highlight that. I mean, I can't take credit for any of these things on my own. We have a fantastic team of engineers who have built this and architects who've, you know, built the system and made it what it is today. And every single one of the engineers on our team deserves credit for that. But yeah, it's what makes my job fun, honestly, doing what I do, because I have to use the tools that we build. So in IT or in software engineering, that's that concept, they call it eating your own dog food. And we do that. We use the tools we build to help our customers. And so, yeah, we have a fantastic team and I'm thankful we are able to do what we do.
Well, great. I think we've more than covered this section, and I think we've even come up with ideas for some other individual podcasts we can do. So we may see Matt again in the future.
So a big thank you from me.
Yes, indeed. Well, great. I think that's everything I have, David. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Any other closing remarks?
Thank you very much. No, that's it from me. And thank you so much, Matt, for being on again. We know your time's super valuable. So taking the time out to be here means a lot.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. You guys have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time.